You're listening to a Sound Vision Online podcast.
Find us at soundvisiononline.co.uk.
Hello there and welcome to the Spring 2016 compilation CD of Sound Vision Online. I'm Michael Selby.
And I'm Joe Kenny.
And for the next 70 minutes or so, we'll bring you the very best in Sound Vision Online podcasts from the past 3 months, interspersed with our usual insightful commentary.
Or
drivel, however you want to class it. Anyway, we'll be hearing from a recent Living with Sight Loss event held in Belfast and organised by the Looking Forward Emotional Support Project.
And Kirsty and Simone, our guest reporters, will be bringing us a report from the final residential from the United Youth Programme.
And we welcome our brand new Sound Vision Online reporter, Jennifer Fahey. For her first assignment, she'll be speaking to RNIB NI Area Fundraising Manager Hazel Sterling about the success of local volunteers. To your fundraising groups across Northern Ireland.
That's easy for you to say.
Don't know what you mean. Anyway, just the two of us this time. Sharon will be back for the next edition. So, Joe, what have you been up to?
Well, I mean...
You've got some news.
I do have news, yes. I wasn't going to tell everybody, but then I... I actually will. I'm going to be a dad again.
Yay! Which is great. Congratulations. That's brilliant news.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
So you have two kids at the moment, yeah?
I do, yeah. So,
and how old are they?
10 and 6, a boy and a girl.
10 and 6. So when is the new arrival due?
Oh, it says the 15th of August on the piece of paper, so I'm going with that.
Yeah. I was due on Halloween, but I arrived a week early. I'm not quite sure. I can't remember if I was overcooked or undercooked. I can't remember which way around it was, but I was born with it was like this row of hair on my forehead.
Wow.
And my mum when we say, she tells the story over and over again. I wish she'd stop. About how she said to the nurse, "Is he going to stay like that?" And the nurse said, "Well, I hope not, or he'll be a freak." yeah. I know.
Oh, wow.
But I can assure you that it's gone.
I
wouldn't be upset if it came back the way my hair is going at the moment. So, you know.
Suppose any hair is better. Anyway, no.
Bit of a comb over.
Isn't it strange, though? I've often thought everyone knows what weight they were when they were born.
I don't.
Ah, that's interesting. Everyone I've met before, Mike. No.
I'd like to be the exception to the rule. It's fine. It's fine.
Funny, I'm not sure. I was 7-odd pound something. I'm not sure.
So it's just so I don't know how much I've sold, and neither do you.
Yeah, I've just realised I don't either. So that was good.
So what's your first memory as a child?
Funny, I the first thing I remember, I think I used to have this. it was a little red tractor.
Oh.
And it was a 3-wheel tractor.
Uh-huh.
I was very fond of it, I believe. Uh-huh. And that was kind of my first memory is. You know, riding this tractor in the front garden, you know.
I have kind of sort of like flashes of memory. I can remember the smell. Do you remember Silly Putty?
Yes.
I remember about Christmas one year, I must have been about 4 or 5, and I got a lump of Silly Putty. There were other presents involved. It wasn't like a Dickensian family. So a lump of Silly Putty. And to this day, the smell of that just reminds me of being a child, sort of just the excitement of Christmas and Santa and that whole stuff.
It smells do trigger memories.
Yeah, exactly.
I I was thinking maybe for a future podcast, I would like to talk to any suppose blind or partsighted parents out there. It's an area that fascinates me because, I mean, as Mike said, I've got two children already, but parenting, especially babies when you're blind or partsighted, I think there's a lot of different stories out there of, you know, different kind of ways to do things.
Yeah.
How to get round the sort of everyday problems and, well, barriers of, I don't know, even the thing of making up bottles, etc.
I think that's a great idea. Let's do that. Yeah. Definitely. Well, listen, do keep us up to date and with progress, and maybe sort of later in the year there'll be this screaming child
in
the background.
I'll be sure to bring it to the studio. Our listeners will love that, won't they?
It'll be great.
Yes.
Well, listen, all the very best to you and Louise. That's great news. Anyway, let's get cracking with Sound Vision. And first up today, with the Northern Ireland Assembly elections just around the corner on the 5th of May, Joe spoke to the Northern Ireland's Chief Electoral Officer about support for voting if you live with sight loss.
Ahead of the local assembly elections here in Northern Ireland on the 5th of May, and of course in the referendum election in June, I thought we'd talk about all things elections and voting, and we're lucky enough to have with us today the Chief Electoral Officer here in Northern Ireland, Graeme Shields. How are you doing, Graeme? Are you well?
I am indeed, Joe. Lovely to be here with you.
Now, obviously, coming around on the 5th of May, we have the local assembly elections, Graeme, isn't that right?
That's right, Joe. The 5th of May is the next significant date in the electoral calendar, shortly followed by the 23rd of June and the European referendum.
Oh, so yeah, things are very busy, I bet, in your office, Graeme, aren't they?
They are. We're putting plenty of extra shovels of coal in the boiler here to, to keep things going.
Maybe just tell our listeners a little bit about what the electoral office does.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'll describe my own job. I'm appointed by the Secretary of State. I'm an independent, what they call an independent statutory office holder. And that is to ensure the independence and integrity of the electoral system in Northern Ireland. And I'm responsible for the running of all elections and referendums, as well as ensuring that the electoral register is kept up to date and kept accurate. And in doing my job, I'm supported by an organisation called the Electoral Office for Northern Ireland. It's a small body of staff. We currently have only about 45 people. They are located at 7 offices across the country, and they help me in running the elections and in keeping the register up to date. On the 5th of May, for example, we will have approximately 3,300 staff employed across 619 polling places. By polling places, I mean the locations where you go to vote, and totaled 1,380 polling stations across the country. So these are all members of the public that we bring in, we train them, make sure that they're competent to do the job, because it is an important job, as you appreciate, and by and large they do it very, very well for us.
So apart from turning up on polling day, in this case on the 5th of May, what other ways could a person vote?
Well, you're at liberty to apply for a postal vote, or a postal proxy vote, or a proxy vote. If for those that aren't familiar with the term proxy postal vote, well, that's where you would ask, make an application for somebody to vote by post on your behalf, and a proxy vote is where somebody can go into a polling station and physically vote in the polling station on your behalf with your consent.
Now, you'd appreciate that you'd appreciate that a lot of our listeners will be blind or partially sighted, and I mean, getting out on polling day to the actual polling stations, and then the act of casting your vote, it does present certain challenges. So I suppose I wanted to talk to you today a little bit about what could a person who's blind or partially sighted, what can they expect from a polling station?
Okay, well, first I should preface what I say by making the point that we try to make it as accessible for people to vote as possible at each of our polling stations. And particularly for blind or partially sighted people, when they go to vote, they will find that there will be additional lighting above the polling booth for them to assist them in reading the ballot paper. And we also use a selector device. And you might remember I spoke to you, mentioned this to you last year, and I have brought one with me. The assembly election.
I tell you what, if you just pass it to me, I'll have it. I'll try and describe to our listeners. So Graeme's just passed me. It's a kind of a long piece of plastic, and down it vertically, there's numbers in Braille and raised print. Is that right? Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now there's a series of flaps that you can lift back, and I take it you then make your cross, the X on the box that you do, that you wish to cast your vote. Is that right?
This time, Joe, it's numbers. So you're putting a number in order of preference for the candidates that you want to vote for, starting with one as your first preference and so on. So you'll see at the assembly election, the difference between this election and last year's election was that you could only vote for one candidate at the Westminster election last year. This is what they call an STV, single transferable vote method of voting, and you can vote for as many or as few candidates as you like, depending on the number on the paper.
Well, that's very interesting. So these are available from every polling station, is that right?
They are. Those will be available at every polling station, and you simply ask the staff for the use of the selector device, and it'll be made available to you.
Excellent. I think I would encourage everybody out there that, I mean, it is obviously a very busy day, and you must it'd be a good idea to ask the the staff who are there for, you know, in terms of the extra lighting, in terms of the selector device, and any other help too.
Absolutely. Please don't be afraid to ask. If you need assistance, please ask, and the staff will willingly provide that. And in addition to assistance from the staff, it's important to add that you can also be accompanied to the polling station by a friend or companion, and they can assist you to fill out the paper if you so wish, or you can ask for assistance from the presiding officer. Now, if you ask for a friend or companion to help you, they will be asked to complete a form by the presiding officer at the polling station before they're allowed to go to the polling booth with you. But that's a simple process and easily completed.
Now, that's just to sort of, because they're voting, they're making the mark or on your behalf.
That's right. Yeah. It's a requirement of law that this has to be done. Mm-hmm, so that's why it happens.
Okay, so I mean, on another thing too. What about if I turned up to the polling station by myself? Would I be able to expect the staff there to be able to guide me or to?
If you ask for assistance, most certainly that'll not be a problem. The presiding officer will help you in any way possible.
That's brilliant. Okay, so just looking at a few other things then. So obviously, we're now in the middle of March, and there's a couple of key dates coming up, isn't there? Like in terms of when I know postal votes have to be sent by and all that kind of thing.
Absolutely, Joe. That's probably the next significant date. We did talk about postal voting earlier, and the deadline for the submission for postal votes is the 14th of April. So it's really important that you get your form submitted, that it's received by the staff at any one of our offices by the 14th of April. If you're not on the register at the minute, it's not too late. You can still apply. And the cut-off date for late registration is the 18th of April. If you want to vote at the 5th of May elections, you need to be on the register or have your form submitted to us by the 18th of April. But I would really strongly encourage people to get their forms in as early as they possibly can.
And how would you do that? What would be the what sort of methods exist for maybe a blind partially sighted person to enter the name on the register?
Well, the form has to be completed physically. It's a paper form, so we have to have that form completed. It contains various identifying information, such as your full name. You must provide your full name, your full home address and postcode, your date of birth, and your signature. Mm-hmm. And your national insurance number. All of that information must be provided, and then we verify that against official records. And quite possibly we may ask you for additional information to verify that, the information that you've put in the form, if it's not readily available to us from official sources.
So could I possibly phone the office and do over the phone if I couldn't fill the form out physically?
No, the form, it's a requirement of law that the form must be filled out and received by our staff before we can process an application for registration. That's an absolute legal requirement.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So that's the 18th of April that has to be done by.
That's right. Yep.
I see the time is marching on, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, it's no time since we were here having this conversation last year. And,
it's true.
Yeah, the weeks will fly in.
So, Graham, just before I let you go, it's important to note too that when you go to make your vote, that you need photo identification, isn't that right?
Absolutely, Joe. That's a legal requirement at any election in Northern Ireland. You must produce photographic identification of an acceptable form before you can vote. And amongst the acceptable forms of identification is the electoral identity card, which is produced by the electoral office. And anybody can apply for one of those cards. They're free of charge. And I would strongly recommend and welcome all applications.
Okay, so if I want to find out more, Graham, how do I get in touch with your team?
Okay, Joe, well, you can give us a ring on the helpline number, and that number is 0800 4320 712. That's 0800 4320 712. Alternatively, you can contact us by email, and the email address is info@eoni.org.uk. That's info@eoni.org.uk, and the electoral office website is can be found at www.eoni.org.uk.
Well, Graham, thank you very much indeed for coming in today. There's a couple of very there's quite a lot of important information there. So I do encourage everybody, if you are unsure or you need to find out more, please just contact Graham or his team there before the date on the 5th of May. Graham, thanks very much.
Thank you, Joe. And I would reiterate what you've said there. If anybody has any questions or queries, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us. We'll do what we can to help.
See, Joe, I find that all very interesting because it's something that I suppose, as a sighted person, I'd never really kind of thought much about. What about you and your experience of voting booths?
Well, I mean, I must admit, I've seen changes over the years. I mean, I'm 38 now, so I've been voting for, 20 years. Wow, that's interesting. I've voted for 20 years and I have seen massive, massive changes. I mean, it isn't as simple as now. I can walk into a polling station, I can, announce the fact that I'm blind, and that you know, the what's it called, the adjudicating officer, isn't that what they say? I think will be able to give me that plastic template that Graham spoke about there, that allows me then to feel what that each box is numbered in Braille.
And in the past, have you had any kind of sort of difficult experiences, or anybody being less than helpful, anything like that?
Well, I mean, in years gone by, yeah, basically you had to bring your family member or companion or member of staff to actually sit there and actually make the mark for you.
Right.
And try and explain what's on the paper to the best of their ability.
See, that's not great. It's good that it's moved on, especially because voting is such a personal thing. You don't necessarily want to share it with, anybody.
Yeah, well, especially, I think, here in Northern Ireland, I mean, it is difficult. There's certain places people might live that you wouldn't want anyone knowing what you're voting.
Of course.
And it is a private thing, and it should be. You should, as a blind person, you have as much right to privacy as anyone else,
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, onwards and upwards. Regular listeners will know Niall Dempsey, our RNIB's Youth Development Officer. Now, our guest reporters, Kirsty and Simone, were at a recent residential in the Shared Discovery Village in Fermanagh, and they spoke to Niall and a couple of guys there about the United Youth Project.
So hello, it's Kirsty Campbell, just from the marketing team. We're out doing a bit for Joe today down at the Share Centre with the United Youth Project. There's a residential going on, it's one of their last ones here. And I've also got Simone with me, who's doing a work placement with us at the minute.
Hello everyone.
There's Simone. So we're just finishing off some archery there, and then we're going to have a chat with Niall and a few of the people that have been having a wee go in the residentials.
Great score, and one is five. Who's next?
We've just caught Niall here, the man in charge, our youth development officer. So Niall, what would you say the United Youth Project has all been about?
Well, the United Youth Project, funded by Dell, has all been about getting young people the opportunity to take part in a lot of personal development, employment, citizenship and good relations activities to kind of help them develop holistically as individuals and move them along whatever their chosen path would be, maybe back into education or trying to get them further on into employment, something like that.
What would you say the main points are that young people take from projects like this?
Well, I think the key thing with this project was that Dell were very good about letting us work with the young people so they could design the content of other projects and how they would be delivered. So I think they've got really good ownership of it and have developed a lot of skills through their involvement in organising the activities they've actually done, as well as all the practical skills they developed actually taking part in activities like a cooking class or a first aid course.
So you've seen maybe them develop. Have you seen any certain changes with any individuals or groups?
Yeah, we've definitely seen development across every participant on the project, really, across each of the four areas, really. We've especially with employment, I have to say, we've seen one person go on to set up their own business, just left our project last week to go and do that. Wow. Others taking placements to gain more experience or working on their CVs and things like that. And in general, self-confidence, they've all got more comfortable expressing their opinions on what they want to do over the project as a group, where maybe at the start they were a bit quieter, so it's good to see overall development, really.
Hi, I'm Charlie, and I'm involved in the United Youth Project. I first got involved through the RNIB. I was a volunteer there, and through that they came to me and suggested that I could do this project, and I was very excited, and before I knew it, I was going on my first residential.
So, Charlie, what activities have you took part in?
We've been doing a range of activities. I've been doing archery, climbing walls. There is also a cooking course that we're involved in to get us a bit more independent and a bit more learned in the kitchen. Also just all the cross-community projects and meeting new people, and I hold loads of different activities and events.
Have you got anything, any favourites or anything?
for me personally, it's not so much as an activity as an individual. Niall Dempsey, we'll get into that later, but I really liked the cooking course. It's always something I've been a wee bit nervous cooking, and it was brilliant that they had the opportunity to get more out of cooking and more to learn, and I feel a lot more confident now, which I think was one of the goals of this project, so I'm happy about that.
Are there any subjects you know more about now than before you started the project?
As I say, I know more about cooking now. Mm-hmm. I've picked up a bit more on the sports, like through the archery and stuff, and how that would be done. And of course, I've learned more about dairy. We went to like just different stories about our culture over Ireland and about different places. And I'd say I've learned a good bit.
Okay, so how do I do this, Ben, buddy? You know?
See, when before you cook it on here, you see the three odd colour.
Faces
on up.
Excellent,
you
Put
your odd colour on. Proficiency hour wrist.
Yeah,
feet
thank
shoulder
you.
Width apart. So your three fingers on the finger tabs.
Yeah.
Draw back to your eye. Look down.
Nice one.
Black. Just three.
So do you think that the overall course has helped you with your sight loss, and has it improved like the way you deal with situations or in the project itself?
Yeah, I feel there's a lot of self-improvement. I'm more confident, more doing things. I know that there is the help out there if you look in the right places, and definitely more of a positive outlook now that I know I am capable of going out doing these things as much as anyone else, and it's really great feeling.
So what would you say to any young people with sight loss listening who haven't been involved with something like this before?
I would say get involved, get out there, look for it. It's out there waiting for you. There's so much to benefit you and so much of a good outcome that you get from doing things like this. For example, I now started off volunteering, got involved with this project. I now have a placement there, which is brilliant. I'm learning all different kinds of skills through that. So, you know, you learn academic skills, you learn, you know, about yourself, what you're capable of, things that you want to do better yourself. And it's just a great thing. And, you know, especially people with sight loss, you know, morale gets low. They kind of beat themselves up. Everyone's their own worst enemy, but this here just helps to put things in perspective, and it's very positive, and I just encourage anyone to go for it.
So we're just going to talk to Catherine here. So Catherine, you're down at the residential as well. What have you been doing?
Hi, Kirsty. I've been down helping out and volunteering with the young people. So I've been down for about four of the residentials.
Four of the residentials. And what sort of things have you been doing with them?
Doing lots of different kind of activities. We did self-defence classes. We are going to the Marble Arch Caves. We did wall climbing, archery.
And have you seen any changes in any of the young people as a group or just individuals?
The first residential I come down, they were quite quiet and didn't really chat too much, but that's when kind of, as they got to know each other better, they've got a lot more confident and a lot more chatty and more friendly with each other. So build confidence, definitely.
Brilliant. Can you think of any particular achievements maybe they've done?
They all have done a first aid course, so they all have got their first aid certificates, and they also did a cooking class as well.
Oh, brilliant. So if any of you just drop, they know what to do for you.
Yes, that's it.
So Catherine, you volunteer for the project. Would you encourage other people to volunteer for projects like this?
Yeah, most definitely. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time with this group, and it's nice to see them progressing through from when they first started to their finishing up. So I think it's a really good experience for anybody to, if they want to volunteer.
Yep.
And it's good fun.
Just caught up with Nicola at lunch here. So Nicola, you've brought another group down from BAC here. Can you just tell us how you got involved with the project?
Well, we've been involved with our NIB for quite a number of years now through Duke of Edinburgh's award, and was involved with the Mizzen de Malin Cycle Challenge a couple of years ago. So have had contact with Niall for quite a while through the BAC accessibility project.
He's up there.
Niall had actually contacted me then to see if I would have a group of young people who would be interested in coming along and you know, taking part in the programme. So normally whenever I put something out a residential, there's no problem whatsoever in getting a group together. So eight young people. probably could have had double that, but
time away from parents. Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah.
And what do you think the benefits have been joining up with another group?
For these young people, you know, they are socially isolated, so it's not very often they would be together as a group anyway. Never mind coming in contact with new people. It's lovely, you know, being away in an environment like this where, all right, they are doing activities and stuff, you know, during the day and in the evening, but then the free time whenever they can all kind of get together and find out about each other, you know, and do a wee bit of mixing, it's, you know, it's brilliant for them. Do you know, the RNIB guys have been great in terms of, you know, helping them.
And then this afternoon we're going to do the dark experience. How do you think that's going to go?
Well, it'll be interesting because obviously we have the dark experience up at the activity centre. So I've been involved with that quite a bit. So obviously I haven't seen this one, so I'm quite keen. I'm not sure now if Niall has me down for doing it or helping out on it. So I'm not sure now how it can go with the group. That we were, yesterday one of the games involved them being blindfolded. We were trying to kind of introduce that experience to them. And we said to them that they were going to do their dark experience then this afternoon. So hopefully then get on okay. Imagine now then by a few laughs and yells and squeals and stuff like that along the way, but they should do okay.
So this was a pilot project, Niall. So are you hoping that there'll be something like this again in the future?
Yeah, we would hope so. I think Dell have done a very good job making this project as available to as many young people as possible during the pilot phase. So hopefully if they were to roll out a bigger programme, then it would be something we could potentially be a part of and offer this opportunity to more young people with sight loss.
So just before we go, I'd just like to know, what would be your favourite bit of the project? Maybe a couple of highlights?
A couple of highlights. I would definitely say from being at the first residential to seeing the people making about four different dishes in the cookery class, from how they started in the first residential, was quite fun to watch, really. And also, I think personally, just the mountain biking, they all seemed to go on very well with that, and it was just it's fun to watch.
To find out more about RNABNI Youth Services, call us on 0890 329 373 or email us at childrenandyouthni@rnab.org.uk. You can also search for RNIB Northern Ireland on social media.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we're a man down, rather a woman down in the studio this time round. However, we are thrilled to also welcome a new voice to the team on Sound Vision Online. Jennifer Fahey, or Jen, as she allows us to call her, has recently joined us as one of our roving reporters. And for her first assignment, Jen spoke to RNIB Northern Ireland Area Fundraising Manager Hazel Sterling about volunteer fundraising groups, trekking in Iceland, and our new Talking Books appeal.
Hello there, and my name is Jennifer, and today we're talking to Hazel Sterling, who is the Area Fundraising Manager. Hello, Hazel.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks very much for inviting me here today.
Oh, thank you for coming. How are you today?
Not too bad at all, thanks.
That's great. So, Hazel, maybe we could start by asking you, how many volunteer fundraising groups now exist in Northern Ireland?
We have about 7 or 8 Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. We have Ballymoney, we have Belfast, we have Foyle Fundraising Group, we have one in Lisburn, one in Banbridge, one in Antrim, one in Omagh, and one in Kilkeel.
That's great. Wow.
Yeah.
So what are the main campaigns that you're working on at the moment?
One of them is Talking Books. It's something that's been in existence with us for 80 years. So we celebrated the 80th anniversary this year. We have about 30,000 people who use this free service. Again, it was made free this year. Usually you had to pay a subscription. So it's completely free now, which is fantastic for people. And we have about 23,000 book titles there, and people can access those titles by just calling up our helpline and just registering, and they can either receive CDs of their talking books, or they can receive it on a USB player or USB stick, or they can sign up and download it from our Overdrive. So we have those three ways to access it, and it really is a fantastic service for people. We're always trying to get income for everything. We try and fundraise for general income, and also we try and fundraise for our children, families and youth services and our community services in Northern Ireland. We were quite a busy RNIB is quite busy in Northern Ireland. Last year we supported over 4,000 people through our ECLO service, eye care liaison service, and we have currently have 900 children and young people on our books that we actively support through our children and family service.
Great. And so how can the fundraisers help with that?
The fundraisers can help by doing an aid of events. We not only do we have fundraising groups, but the fundraising groups also support people in their local communities. Mm-hmm. And so do I, and I support the fundraising groups too. For example, the Mayor Darren Cosby, he recently held a tea for RNIB in Banbridge last Saturday, supported by the Banbridge fundraising group, and they raised something like was it £1,200 in a matter of 2 hours?
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and that was for our children and family service. Mm-hmm. So those are the sorts of things we're trying to do, and also get companies involved as well. Mm-hmm. We want companies to support us and help us to produce talking books too.
Perfect. That sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I've been hearing about is this trek to Iceland. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's quite exciting actually. Well, this is since I've been here, which is nearly 3 years, this is the first trek we've done. the trek to Iceland is a great opportunity for people to experience staying in an authentic mountain hut. Mm-hmm. And eating authentic food, seeing all the fantastic places, you know, in Iceland. And at the end of it, there's a gala event as well. So it's quite an authentic challenge, and I think at the minute we've got something like maybe 30 people across the UK signed up to it.
Wow.
So yeah, it's going really well. We recently had an event at the Icelandic Embassy in London, and another 5 people have signed up to it, so it's great. We actually have one guy here from Northern Ireland going, and he's fundraising away. He's doing raffles for us at work. He's planning a barbecue.
Brilliant.
He's also doing pub quizzes, and he actually has complete sight loss himself, so this is good for him. I mean, obviously you're going with RNIB, you're going to be there with people from RNIB. We have one of our regional managers, Jackie McGuire, going, and we have actually our head of fundraising, Wanda Hamilton, going as well. So there's good representation there from RNIB.
That's great. And can people still get involved with that?
Oh, absolutely. They can give me a call on 90329373, or they can just go online and Google Iceland Trek RNIB, and they can sign up online as well.
That sounds wonderful. Sounds like a great experience.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic, yeah.
So, just wondering now about kind of fundraising and volunteering in general. Mm-hmm. How can people help out with that?
Well, what we do as well is we appreciate that not everybody has, you know, time to meet, you know, once a month, or, you know, some of our groups like Ballymoney Group only meet twice a year. Mm-hmm. We're very flexible to fundraising, we're very flexible to volunteering. We're always looking for occasional volunteers to help with our collections. They will be called on once or twice a year just mm-hmm. to come out and give a couple of hours. They want to support us, but they don't have the time. So they would come out and give a couple of hours, and that would be it. Mm-hmm. Another thing is we're looking for awareness raisers. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes on board, especially awareness raisers, will be trained in understanding sight loss. They'll have an induction, and they would have all the information there about RNIB, and they would go out and do info days, or they would maybe take some stuff to the libraries. You know, it just depends. Every area is very different.
And can you talk a little bit about the impact that fundraising has on the work that RNIB is able to do?
It has a massive impact. Obviously, we can only deliver services that we can afford. Mm-hmm. And last year, we raised, as a charity, £114 million.
Wow.
It sounds a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But if you deliver services across the whole of the UK, England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Isle of Man, how does that is quite, you have to really stretch that income. People would leave us gifts in their will. Mm-hmm. People can do the lottery with us, they can do our raffle tickets, they can help with collections by signing up as an occasional volunteer. They're more than welcome to join a group. They can only, it's up to them how they want to support us.
Yeah.
In aid of events, things like that, people mean the weekend previous to last, we were at the Mourne and Castlewell and Blackface Sheep Breeders mm-hmm. auction.
That's a sounds interesting.
It does, yes. And they raised over £2,000 for RNAB and Daisy Hill Hospital. We also had the Sheepdog Society raise £2,000 for us. You know, we do have a lot of stuff going on in the community as well, so it's great to see. We have people do birthday gifts. Instead of giving somebody a birthday gift they don't really need or want, they would do gifts in lieu, and we would get cash donations as well.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's a great way of bringing people together as well. Would you say that's one of the advantages of volunteering and fundraising?
Yeah, very much so. People want to help, and it's a great way to know people in your community as well. It's a great social activity too, especially down the Foyle fundraising group. It's quite a social thing. And we've quite a good office down there as well. And if you look maybe at Banbridge group, we only have, you know, three core members in the group, but you know, these people, you know, two of them didn't know each other before they started, and now, you know, it's great they can share experiences, so it's good.
That's wonderful. Right, so Hazel, how can listeners find out more about RNIB fundraising, or how could they get involved?
They can get involved by talking to myself or Anne Crane, our volunteer officer, or just ringing anybody here in the office, and the message will be passed on to me. They can find out by going online as well, which is rnab.org.uk, to volunteer. Just click into volunteering and they can have a look online, or they can call our office on 90329373.
That's great. And thank you very much, Hazel.
Very welcome.
As always, for more information about anything you've heard on Sound Vision Online, just call RNIB NI here in Belfast on 028 9032 9373 or visit our website at rnib.org.uk/Northern Ireland. You can get involved on social media. Just search for RNIB Northern Ireland on Twitter or Facebook.
Jackie Brown's up next with another Tech That. This time Jackie talks about the RNIB Overdrive service and downloading talking books.
Thank you, Joe. Hi.
First of all, you actually done this at home, Jackie, didn't you?
I did, because I needed to use my computer in order to do this. So the easiest thing was to record me downloading a book and basically letting the listener hear the experience of navigating the website and so on.
Now, just so it's clear, we're actually using JAWS for this, aren't we?
Yeah, JAWS 17, the latest version of JAWS.
I suppose, what do you think of the actual operation of using Overdrive generally then?
I like it. I don't like the website. I don't like the navigation of the website. But I do like the ability to be able to download a book when you want to. You get up to six books, like you do with your talking books. You get up to six books that you can download at any one time. When you've finished listening to them, you're meant to send the book back, as it were, even though it's an electronic process. But it works in the same way that you would borrow a library book. When you've finished with the book, you return it to the library. And that's what you do essentially with Overdrive. And it is a really good service. It's been long overdue, and it's been around now for nearly 18 months. So it's been a long time coming, but well worth it. I think most of RNIB's Talking Book Library is now on Overdrive. But the only thing is that they're not in DAISY format. From Overdrive, apparently it doesn't support DAISY, so they are all MP3 files, which means that the quality is not as good as DAISY and the navigation is not as good. But the fact is, you're getting a free service, a download service, whenever you want to use it, and I certainly make use of it. It's great.
Okay, well, let's hear how you get on, Jackie.
Okay, I'm at my computer. I'm running the latest version of JAWS on Windows 7, and I have the password and PIN library details from RNIB, which I need to use in order to download books from the Overdrive website. This is RNIB's library service, which you can download books from. And in order to do this, just contact RNIB and ask them to give you a library number and PIN. And once you have those credentials, you go to the Overdrive website and you can look for books and you can sign in and you can download whatever book you fancy reading, depends on whatever you're interested in. And you can then transfer the book if you want to
to an external player like a Victor Reader Stream on an SD card, or you can use the Overdrive Media Console to listen to your books at your computer. I tend to download them and put them on my SD card to listen to on my stream, and once I finish the book I delete it from the card and return it to the library. So there are a couple of things you can do, and I'm going to show you basically how to download a book and then open the media console, and you can hear what it does. Right, I'm in the library page, I've signed in, and I'm going to type in a book to search for.
Search, digital media search, search, edit.
Okay, so if I type in an author's name, for example, Dean R. Koontz, he's a guy that writes crime and a bit of paranormal and thrillers, I will see what he brings up.
Boot tag page, submit search button. Search results are NIB support.
Okay, so we're at the search results.
Filter search, search results heading level 3. Link share apostrophe watchers. Link click here to view audiobook details for watchers ID Mark Coons more.
Okay, that's the first book, Watchers, but I don't want that particular book. There are different ways that you can search for your books once you get to the page and all the list of books that you're looking for. There isn't a right or wrong way of doing this. It's whatever suits you, really, whatever's easier and however you can navigate the page. I sometimes bring up the list of links on the page with insert F7 in JAWS, and normally I would look that way for books, but sometimes I will use the heading on the search page and jump with the letter H to the search results, and then I arrow down to see what list of books there are.
Link options for The Darkest Evening of the Year by Dean R. Koontz.
Right, okay, options for The Darkest Evening of the Year by Dean R. Koontz. So this is the book I'd like to download, and I've actually looked at this book before and I haven't downloaded it, so we'll see what options I have.
Graphic The Darkest Evening of the Year. Link go to checkouts.
Okay, so if I go to checkouts, I should be able to download this book.
Go to checkouts, visited link. Dean R. Koontz, link download MP3 audiobook.
Okay, so that's the download link for the book that I'm looking for. So if I enter on this link.
Download MP3 audiobook link.
So now it has automatically opened the Overdrive Media Console, which is the software you need to have installed on your computer. So it has actually opened this console and put me right on the area that I need to be. So if I tab once.
Browse dot 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 button.
And again.
Okay button.
Right, okay. It's asking me if I want to download it to this particular folder that it's created, and I do, so I just accept the default and press spacebar.
Preview 1-4. Download dialogue. Title The Darkest Evening of the Year. Select the parts to download. List.
Okay, so because these books are in parts, they're all MP3 format, and the book comes in several parts to make it easier to download. So I now need to find the check all box, which means that I want to download the whole book.
Check all button.
There we go. Now if I press OK, it will start downloading it to my computer.
Preview, view all media, 1-4, 1%.
And it's going to give me a percentage now of the book downloading, so 100%. We'll let it do that. It's a free service, so that means that you're not paying any money for this. You just contact RNIB and ask them for, you know, the credentials for the Overdrive library, and then once they give you a PIN number and your card, your library number, you put those in when you sign into the Overdrive website and you can download these books.
36%.
Okay, I think the book's downloaded, so I will minimize and go to my desktop.
Desktop.
And I will go into my
Jackie
folder, which is called Jackie.
Jackie, items view multi-select list bar.
Now I'll go into my documents.
My documents.
And if I go into my media.
My media, items view multi-select list box, not selected MP3 audiobooks. MP3 audiobooks.
Okay, I've selected that, go in here.
My media, items view multi-select list box.
And in here I have a list of the books that I have downloaded from Overdrive, or books that I actually keep in here that I need to refer back to. Perhaps there might be a couple of reference books. But I can see that The Darkest Evening of the Year by Dean Koontz is the one on the top of the list.
The Darkest Evening of the Year.
Now that's contained within a folder. So all I do now, if I want to transfer that particular book to my SD card, I put my SD card into the computer and I copy that book into the other books section on my SD card, and then I take it away and I start reading the book. And really, that is all there is to this service. It is really good. You can return a book once you've finished with it, as if you would at a physical library. You just return the book on the web page. As I say, the web page is rather difficult to navigate. So the whole OverDrive website, in my opinion, could have been designed much easier for blind and visually impaired people with screen readers to use. But this is where RNIB opted to go for reasons best known to themselves. So we have to just work with what we have. I think it could definitely be a lot better. It's very, very cluttered. But once you get used to it and you know where you're going on the site and you can find the literature that you want to download, then you should be okay.
Well, if you've listened to Sound Vision Online in the past, chances are you'll already know about the RNIB NI Online Today Digital Skills Project for people with sensory loss. Well, that selfsame team are now running a technology tech clinic on the last Friday of every month, and our Joe spoke to Joanne Wilson here, who explains more.
Hello, John, how are you doing?
Hi, Joe, how are you?
Great. Joanne's back to tell us something very exciting, new developments with the Online Today project here in Northern Ireland. But I thought first we'd just start by talking about Online Today. Some listeners maybe don't know what it is, and so Joanne, maybe you could tell us a little bit about Online Today.
Sure. Online Today is a big lottery funded project which has just completed year one. It's a 3-year project, so we just finished year one, and the aim of it is to provide people with sensory loss with basic online skills. Here in Northern Ireland, what that means is that we provide one-to-one training for people with sight loss that possibly want to learn how to get familiar with a tablet or a smartphone or a piece of software on their computer, which will enable them to go on the internet. And we do that through one-to-one 6-week courses, and we also do short introduction sessions for people just getting started.
And where do those sessions happen?
All over the country, Joe. We have no limitation on location. We are partnered with the libraries. So we do deliver in all the RNIB offices, but also in local libraries as well. So some examples of places are Belfast, Enniskillen, Bangor, Newry, Coleraine, Omagh, where we go all over the country. So
this is a sort of widespread throughout Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said that you just finished a year one. Did it meet expectations or?
Did we? We were very, very successful in year one. We overachieved in our targets. We got lots of interest. We delivered lots of one-to-one sessions, but we also delivered a number of group sessions across the country as well. We went out and talked to various organisations and trained up staff in a number of organisations to make those staff more aware of accessibility. So that they're in a better position to advise people with sight loss, and we continue to get a lot of queries and a lot of referrals and provide support where we can as well.
But today, I said at the start of the podcast, it's something rather exciting, and I personally think this is exciting to announce today. And this was the start of a regular monthly kind of, was technology clinics.
Yes. So whenever each month we are going to be running these clinics as a way of helping people that maybe just come across a problem with their device or a problem with a particular program on their computer or something like that. We get a lot of people who perhaps go through a 6-week course, and then afterwards something might come up that they didn't cover, or a new update might come up on their phone and they just need a little bit of help with it. So the aim of these clinics is just to provide that, just to give some additional support and to help people with those little queries that come up with technology, as it's ever changing. So it's good to have a support system in place.
So these are regular every month?
They are. They're going to be on the last Friday of every month throughout the year up until November. And we are doing it on a basis of the morning times will be for people to phone in. So it's not always easy to get to an office whenever you you need the help. So we can provide advice and information over the phone, and the phone's going to be between 10:30 and 12:30 on the last Friday of every month, and then between 1:30 and 3:30 we're going to do drop-in sessions. So that means that a person can just call in and see one of our trainers and get some advice and help.
And that's in the Victoria House premises here in Belfast, and then in the Derry Londonderry premises on Strand Road.
Exactly, yeah.
Basically, in the mornings it's phone in, so wherever you live in Northern Ireland, you can call one of our dedicated Online Today team here, who will be happy to talk with you on the phone. And in the afternoon, it's call-in, drop-in sessions in the two venues.
It is. And it'd also be very useful for someone that maybe just wants a little bit of advice or information about a particular device. You don't need to have one to avail of the clinics. It could just be that you just want a little bit of information before you decide to buy something, or you've just got a query about something. That's what the clinics are for too.
That's really excellent. So before we finish up, I just want to know what sort of things do people want to know most about, do you think?
We get a lot of people that want to know what would be the best device for them. So we get a lot of people who just want advice on whether they should get a smartphone, or whether they should get a tablet, or whether their computer is the best option for them. We get a lot of people who have already made a purchase of a device and just need help getting started with the accessibility, so with the screen reader or with magnification. And we'll get then more sort of specific queries. People like to know how to send an email, or how to do their shopping online, or use social media. Because our training's one-to-one, it's totally tailored. So we can help with all those things. One of the real popular topics that's becoming sort of more prominent in our training now is Overdrive, and being able to access your talking books online.
That's RNAB Overdrive,
and being able to use Overdrive for your local libraries as well is another service that is very popular. So we do a lot of training on that too.
That's fantastic. I think, finally, we just need to know, how do people contact you, Joanne?
Sure. If you have any queries, or if you're going to do any of the phone calls for the clinics, the number to get us on is 028 90 334 113.
That says 028 90 334 113. And of course, as always, you can contact Sound Vision Online either via our Twitter at RNABNI, on Facebook, just search for RNAB Northern Ireland, or just give any of the offices a call. Joanne, it's been great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Now, regular listeners will know about our one-to-one counselling service, Looking Forward, but you may not know about one of the newer components of that service called Living with Sight Loss. This is a group-based programme where people can get together and explore and talk about some of the more difficult aspects of losing your sight and exchange advice or helpful tips. I caught up with course coordinator Richard Craig, who explained more. With me today I've got Richard Craig. Now, Richard Craig is our Living with Sight Loss facilitator, and we're at the final day of a Living with Sight Loss course here in the Clayton Hotel in Belfast. Richard, thanks for talking to me today.
Thank you, Joe.
We're going to hear from a couple of the folks that are on the course, but Richard, maybe you could start by telling us a little bit about what the purpose was for having a course like this.
Yes, a Living with Sight Loss course is a course that's being run very frequently by action teams over in England, and this is the first time we've run it here in Northern Ireland. It's a 6-week course, and each week there's a different theme. Basically, the aim of the course is to build confidence and provide an opportunity to share learning and experience for people living with sight loss. During the 6 weeks, we look at a range of different themes covering mobility and daily living, emotional support and well-being, assistive technology, eye health, and peer support.
How many would be on this course at the moment?
This course, we have about 8 people with sight loss, and we always welcome and encourage partners, family or friends, companions to come along. And on this one, we have about 4 people who have been able to make it along. So we have a group size of about 12 to 13.
Brilliant. And the criteria to kind of part of this is, does somebody have to have recently have lost their sight, or what?
Yes, these series of Living with Sight Loss courses that will be run over the course of this year in Northern Ireland, the funding has come through the Looking Forward project, which is an RNAB counselling project funded through the big lottery. The only criteria is that you're 60 or above and living with sight loss.
So, and with Bridge now, we're at the Understanding Sight Loss course, so this is the final session. Bridge, maybe you could start by telling me a little bit about how you came to attend this event.
I came to attend it because Olive Rogers, and she got me enrolled in it. And I've been coming every week for the past 5 weeks, and I've enjoyed all the sessions.
And how would you describe your sight loss?
My sight loss was very rapid. I had 3 little veins that burst at the back of my eye, and then from there on I just went to the opticians one day and I said, I can't see out of that eye, and she sent me to the hospital, and I was attending the hospital for about 3 years. So I'm losing the sight in my other eye, but it's not, they haven't diagnosed it, they just tell me that they do what they can. I love doing crosswords and sport searches and things, and embroidery, especially embroidery, and I miss doing all that. I just, it's like a void in my life. I was thinking now, after this morning, I was thinking of maybe going to the cookery class. They have several cookery classes around, and then Olive has asked me, I'm going to learn how to do the iPod while I still have
this. Is that the Online Today training?
They phoned me last week to see if I still wanted to go, and that they will be in touch with me as soon as they have a space.
Brilliant. Well, that sounds good.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Bridge, thank you very much indeed. I'll let you go now.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Margaret?
Yes.
Can I have a wee word with you?
Yes.
That's great. I was just talking to Bridge there, and I just sort of was asking Bridge, how did you first hear about these sessions?
Now, I come from Carrick, which is a long way from Belfast, and we've been coming 6 weeks. Well, I go to Good Morning Carrick.
Oh, very good.
So Good Morning Carrick turns around and tells you things. Also about, you know, the handyman job at from Bryson House.
What's that now?
Well, if you have any, if you live by yourself, or, you know, you've got blind, and you have wee things, you know, in the house, like putting pictures up, or putting a shelf up.
Oh, odd jobs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a man will come out, £10 for an hour, and they'll put whatever, you know what I mean, like for handy things up.
And that's through the Good Morning Network?
Yes. And people don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But then your wee woman from the Good Morning turned around and said it last week. There's an awful lot of people won't ask. Well, me, I do. And then also somebody came and about trying different things. I volunteered for a go and try archery in Carrickfergus.
Very good.
Now, I went, it was just for one day, and I went. And because I was pointing at it, well, he told me to, my macular degeneration took over and moved me. You know, as if to say, I wasn't at the right place. So I did that, and I thought to myself, well, if I could do it, I enjoyed it. So why not? And I think other people should turn around and be able to go to different things. Some of them scared to volunteer. If somebody can turn around and help me, why can't I help other people?
Very good.
And that's why, you see, this group is bringing everybody together, and people's learning more by talking to each other rather than asking questions. Maybe they don't want to ask questions. If they talk about something, then the person that knows can turn around and get in the conversation.
Pass it to those who don't know.
Yes, what to do and what not to. Richard is brilliant as well. He's got the patient and he goes through, and you know what I mean, he's just a great guy.
I like your attitude.
Thank you.
So I've listened to a couple of the guys there talking over lunch, and they were, what I'm getting a very strong sense of is it about learning from each other?
Definitely. The Living with Sight Loss program has facilitation at its heart. Staff, volunteers and delivery partners work on the basis that participants are experts in their own journey, and it's really to bring people together to share their experiences, but also explore solutions to challenges or barriers that they face and share hints and tips.
Would you say it's quite an emotional journey when you go on a course like this?
Yes, people are at different stages. That's why we use the term living with sight loss. People are on different stages in their journey, and certainly in the group that we've seen, we've had people who are newly diagnosed with sight loss and others who have maybe had sight loss for a number of years, but their sight has recently taken a dip or their confidence has been affected.
Mm-hmm. And so what on leaving this is the final day of this particular run, what is your hopes for some of the people?
Well, really, over the last few weeks, we've been touching on a number of themes, and really it's to let people know what RNAB services are out there. But not just that, at least a third of the programme is with partner organisations such as the Guide Dog, Belfast Health Trust, and various other organisations. So it's really giving everyone the practical knowledge and emotional supports that they can take steps to try and maybe get out and about more or improve their confidence and things like that.
Were you surprised at maybe how much people either did or didn't know?
It wasn't so much a case of that, it was the level of interest that was shown. Each week people kept coming back. The attendance has been excellent, and I think that's because of the wide range of information that's been available, but also the chance to some of the individuals can be socially isolated, and for a chance to just come together, meet people who are on the same journey as themselves, have a cup of tea, chat and get to know each other, that plays a massive part in this course.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think that was evident today, that there's like a bonding experience that goes on over the 5 weeks, isn't there?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so finally, if anyone wants to find out more about Looking Forward as a whole, Richard, how would they get in touch?
Yes, certainly. This is the first course that we've run up in Belfast. There is funding for further courses throughout the course of this year, and it will be happening throughout different parts of Northern Ireland. So if you are interested in finding out more about a course that may be running in your area, please contact myself. My job is the Living with Sight Loss Facilitator. I'm based at the RNAB in Victoria House in Belfast. My direct number is 028 9033 4144. Equally, you can contact me on my email, which is richard.craig@rnib.org.uk.
Fantastic. And of course, lots of more information can be found on our website at rnib.org.uk, or just give the office a call here in Belfast on 02890 329 373. The RNIB shop sells all sorts of different types of products and equipment designed to make your life easier if you live with sight loss. As part of a new feature for Sound Vision Online called Today in the Shop, I thought we'd take a look at some of the different categories of equipment on sale. Today, our customer Charlie talks to RNAB Northern Ireland's Amy Stewart about different types of lighting solutions.
Hiya, I was hoping to inquire about some of your lighting.
Well, certainly, we have a fantastic range of lighting here in the shop. Is it for yourself or for someone that you know?
No, actually it's for my mother. It's to help her read.
Ah, right, okay. Certainly getting to grips with reading and getting the lighting right can be one of the most important things when you're trying to read books. So we have a nice selection of different things, and I suppose a lot of it depends on where your mum likes to sit to read her books. So if she likes to sit in a comfortable armchair, maybe a floor standing light would be the best thing for her to think about. Mm. Do you think one of these lights that stands on the floor might come down over her shoulder might be a good idea? Sure, let me show you this one. This is new for us. It's only come in very recently. It's called the Magnificent Floor and Table LED magnifying light, so a bit of a mouthful, but it is a fantastic, really flexible light, this one, and for only £60 it's brilliant value. But let me tell you why it's so good. This one has a magnifying glass built into it, so your hands are free whenever you want to sit down and read your book. You don't have to worry about holding on to a magnifying glass and your book or your newspaper and trying to balance everything, because you're just looking down through this magnifying glass. It's not a strong magnifying glass, it's only about 1.75 times in strength. But because it also has this round light bulb that's illuminating a big spread of the book that you're reading, you'll find that even without a really strong magnifying glass, the benefit of the light makes a real difference to being able to read even small print. But the really good, really flexible thing about this light is that you can adapt it from being a floor standing lamp that sits about, 1.25 metres in height. And you can bend it and move it around a wee bit, but you can change it from being a floor standing light by taking out a section on it, and you can move it down into quite a tall desk standing light. And if even at that you thought that desk light was too small, you could take out another section and turn it down into quite a small, neat little desk light that would illuminate something really close. So if you were doing close work, like say a bit of embroidery, then you'd have a light that was really close and directly shining onto the thing that you wanted to do, and you'd have that magnifying glass. So really flexible, brilliant light that you'd be able to use for all sorts of different things. And because it's got that fantastic quality of light, it'll make a huge difference to being able to read.
Yes, that would be perfect for my mother. But for my good self, I was wondering if you'd have any desk lights?
Certainly, we have a fantastic range of desk lights, and they do all sorts of different things. So, starting with this tall one at the back here, this is almost like an angle poise lamp, so you can move this around a lot, and it's got a really long bulb in it, so you're getting a good spread of light again all across the thing that it is that you mean to look at. The downside of this big lamp is that it's very heavy, so it's really steady, but the base itself is really big. So if you've only got a small amount of space on your desk, you might find that this light uses up too much room. You might want something a little bit neater or smaller to sit in your desk. So as an alternative, we have this little touch light, and it's a really attractive little light. It's white, and again, it's really flexible. So whenever you're finished with it, it folds up nice and small, but when you're using it, it has a nice long set of LEDs, and again, they're illuminating the whole of the book that you're reading or whatever it is that you're working on. And it's a touch light that also you can dim the brightness whenever you touch it, and you can change the light temperature on this light. So there are different qualities of light, and we call it light temperature. And you can change this one from being a cool light to being a warm light, or being a very bright light that's close to daylight. Depending on what you're most comfortable with, you'll find something in those settings that will reduce the strain on your eyes and make it most comfortable for you to read. But it's a really nice wee light, and at £50, it's great value for something that would look really attractive sitting on your desk or on your table. Sometimes people find if you're trying to work in the kitchen, you might have overhead lights, but whenever you're working under your cupboards or you're working on a worktop, you might find it's quite dark on there because the cupboards above cast a shadow and stop you being able to see what's going on underneath. We have a fantastic range of lights that might help your mum in the kitchen that fit under your cupboards, so that they're shining directly down onto the work that you're doing on the worktop, so that if she was cutting or slicing or she needed to see more precisely what she was doing, these lights that illuminate directly onto what you're doing would be fantastic in the kitchen. And we have other ones that go into the cupboards, so that whenever she opened a cupboard door, the lights would automatically come on. They don't stay on all the time. When the cupboard doors are closed, you don't have a light shining in there. But almost like your fridge, whenever you open the door, the light goes on. And it's a motion detector, but it means whenever you go to have a rummage in your cupboards and have a look for your rice or your pasta or your OXO cubes in my house, then the light will come on and you'll be able to see exactly what you're doing. So you might think about that for your mum too.
Wow, that's great. Thank you for all of your help.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, you know where we are. And if any of those things are of interest, particularly these lights that are quite heavy, remember that we post. So rather than trying to carry them home yourself, remember that we'll post it out to your house, and we'll arrange for a courier to deliver it at a time that's convenient for you. And there's no charge for postage from us.
So Sound Vision Online News and Event Guide April 2016. The RNIB NI Children and Families team would like to let listeners know that you can download the current guide to all our events and activities for children and young people affected by sight loss from our website. Whether you are a parent or a young child and want to know where the nearest RNIB NI parent and toddler group is, a young person wanting to find out about what our services can offer you, or someone who works with children or young people with sight loss wanting to know more about the support available from RNIB, just visit www.rnib.org.uk/children and families and get your copy in either Word or PDF formats. Family Insight Project, supporting you and your family in living and learning. What We Do. Starting in mid-May and funded by the Big Lottery in Northern Ireland, Family Insight is a 5-year project led by RNIB NI in partnership with Angel Eyes NI. We support and empower families with children aged 12 and under living with sight loss. We want families to feel fully equipped, understand their children's eye conditions and how it affects their sight, access support both at home or in school, help your children reach their full education and social potential. The Family Insight Project offers both practical and emotional support to the whole family. Above all, we want families to get together, share experiences and feel empowered. You can contact us, RNIB NI, by calling us on 028 9032 9373 or email us at childrenyouthni@rnib.org.uk. You can also contact Angel Eyes NI by calling 028 9094 1632 or email info@angeleyesni.org. You can always find more information on the Children and Youth Pages RNIB website, rnib.org.uk/Northern Ireland. RNIB Connect, your community needs you. Come along to one of our welcome events and help to shape your local community. Keen to learn more about RNIB Connect and what it might mean for you? Feel like there's something missing in your local area? Know about a local group or society you think others might like to join too? Want to have your say on what's happening near you? Then join us for one of the 4 events below. At Belfast Tuesday, 24th of May, 2 p.m. until 4 p.m, RNIB Belfast Office, Victoria House, 15 to 17 Gloucestershire Street, Belfast BT1 4LS. Derry, Londonderry, Wednesday, 25th of May, 11 a.m. until 1 p.m, Derry Playhouse, 5 to 7 Artillery Street, Derry/Londonderry, BT48, 6RG. The third event is in Newry on Thursday the 26th of May, 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. It's at Newry Library, 79 Hill Street, BT341DG. And the last event is in Enniskillen on Friday the 27th of May, 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. Fermanagh Lakeland Forum, Broad Meadow, Enniskillen. And the postcode is BT747EF. Teas and coffees will be provided and everyone is welcome. In the event that you can't attend one of the 4 public events, there will be a chance to join a group phone call from the comfort of your own home on Tuesday the 24th of May at 6 p.m. For further details about joining the phone call or any of the above events, call RNIB Connect, formerly RNIB Membership, on 030 312 34555 or email connect@rnib.org.uk. Online today, helping people with sensory loss get online. Group technology demonstration. Online today is a new big lottery funded project led by RNIB, delivered in partnership to help people with sensory loss across the UK get online. We know that technology can make your life easier, but knowing where to start isn't always easy if you've got sensory loss. Our team will help you realise the benefits of being online, whether it's getting regular sports or weather updates or learning how to use social media. We will give you the information and knowledge to increase your skills, make you feel more confident using technology, and helping you to stay safe online. This 2-hour group session will demonstrate how the right technology and products can help people living with sight loss get the most from television, navigate their way around independently, and plan travel and book holidays online. The venue is in Cookstown Library. The date is Monday the 25th of April, between the hours of 11 and 1 p.m. It includes a tea and coffee break. Booking is essential as places are limited. Did you know the NI Online Today team now run monthly technology clinics on the last Friday of every month and are a great way to get to get quick answers to your tech queries. You can either phone in during the morning sessions or drop into our afternoon sessions in either the Belfast or Derry/Londonderry RNIB premises. To book, please contact Clara Aldworth, Project Coordinator of Online Today at RNIB NI at 028 9033 4113 or email onlinetodayni@rnib.org.uk. The Realise Project, our big lottery-funded Realise Project, supports children and young people with sight loss aged between 8 and 20 years who live in Northern Ireland. We are there for those times when a bit of support is needed to help get to the next stage. We'll be holding a celebration event on Tuesday the 19th of April in the Odeon Cinema, Victoria Square, Belfast, to showcase successes of the project so far. To find out more about the Realise Project, just contact the team on 028 9032 9373 or email at childrenandyouthni@rnib.org.uk. The Campaigners Active Network, or CAN, is a network of local groups of people who are blind or partially sighted and their friends, families and allies who wish to campaign on issues that affect them where they live. Whether it's the lack of accessible health information, accessibility of public transport or street clutter, CAN could help you make positive changes in your area. There's bound to be a CAN group near you right now, so why not contact Sean Canny, RNIB CAN officer, on 028 9032 9373 or email him at sean.canny@rnib.org.uk. The Macular Support Group based in Coleraine meet monthly in the RNIB Coleraine premises on Abbey Street. The next morning is on the 12th of May from 1:30pm to 3pm. If you're interested in audio described data performance, check out some of these events happening in Northern Ireland. Saturday 30th of April, 7:45pm at the Mac Belfast Bakun. To book, call the box office on 028 9023 5053 or visit www.themaclive.com. Thursday the 5th of May, 7:45, Lyric Theatre, Here Comes the Night. Call the box office on 028 9038 1081 or visit www.lyrictheatre.co.uk. Thursday the 12th of May, 7:30pm, Grand Opera House and Inspector Calls. Call the box office on 028 9024 1919 or visit www.goh.co.uk. For more information on audio described theatre performances in Northern Ireland, visit nisightlines.co.uk, a website listing upcoming performances. If you have an item to be included in our news and events guide, contact us on 028 9032 9373 or email soundvisiononline@rnab.org.uk.
And that's just about it for another Sound Vision Online compilation CD. As always, we love to hear your feedback and your comments, so please do get in touch with your ideas.
You can call us on 028 90 329373. You can email soundvisiononline@rnib.org.uk or you can search for RNIB Northern Ireland on Twitter or Facebook and you'll find us there.
And of course, all those details are on the website, www.soundvisiononline.co.uk. Our thanks to Kirsty and Simone for their piece from the United Youth Gang, and thanks to everyone else, as always, for contributing. Now, please do remember, these CDs are now just a compilation of the previous 3 months' podcasts, and if you'd like to get more of our content on a week-to-week basis, again, just visit that website. But for now, from me, Michael Selby.
And from me, Joe Kenny.
Thanks very much for listening. Take care, and until next time, bye-bye.
RNIB Northern Ireland, supporting people with sight loss.